It suffers from more than ever a weak script, black stereotypes, and outrageously blatant sexism that pepper a wandering storyline. That said, Prince himself is center stage, evoking a charisma in his performances that are unforgettable. A high-energy showman, which for many had hardcore sex appeal. Not to my taste in the animal attraction category, but his magnetism is still very apparent these many years later. If you're going to take a look at the movie again, the home flat screen isn't going to do it. To keep your attention, a movie theater is where Purple Rain would work best. Having a larger-than-life image to suit Prince's larger-than-life performance. In case you didn't know the plot, Purple Rain was conceived as a semi-autobiographical and prophetic story of a black musician's rise to superstardom. Raised in poverty with an abusive father, many references are to Prince's upbringing and are interspersed throughout the storyline. Despite a long list of narrative weaknesses, the music still works, and back in the summer of 84, Prince Roger Nelson further distinguished himself by becoming the first artist to ever have the top movie, album, and single all the same time. Some background about how the movie came to be includes William Blinn, who had been the executive producer of the popular TV series Fame, and who also wrote the first draft of the script, but entitled the movie Dreams. The director, Albert Magnoli, a USC film school grad, didn't like the original script or the title, so he took on the job of writing and directing Purple Rain, which was his first full-length picture. At the time, Prince's girlfriend, Vanity, was set to play his love interest, but she dropped out to play Mary Magdalene in Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ. Fortunately, that didn't work out for her. Next up for the girlfriend role was Jennifer Beals, but she also turned down the chance. Gina Gershon auditioned, but wasn't chosen. Finally, the role went to the young actress Apollonia Cotero, who was David Lee Roth's squeeze at the time. Prince insisted she dump him and focus her attention on the star himself, and so she did. To shoot the film, the movie's producers paid $100,000 to close down the legendary Minneapolis Music Club for 2 months to be certain in capturing an authentic feel to the productions, which, by the way, are what saves Purple Rain for me. In all his glory, Prince dons his iconic ruffles, eyeliner, and heeled boots to give it his all in each verse of Purple Rain that addresses groups of people in his life, his parents, Apollonia, and his bandmates. After studio executives first screened the movie, they thought it was a mess, kind of how I still see it. They thought it would not be a commercial success, but they were wrong. Initially, it was only shown in 200 theaters, so the frustrated producers tipped off 3 movie critics and invited them to a secret screening. These writers included representatives from Rolling Stone, the Los Angeles Times, and Newsweek. Surprisingly enough, they all wrote glowing reviews of Purple Rain, creating enough positive buzz that fueled throngs of youth to go and see it. An apparent hit, Warner Brothers expanded its distribution to 900 screens nationwide. Prince's unforgettable performance made him an enduring star. The movie earned $68 million at the box office, $61 million more than its meager $7 million budget. For some final factoids, Darling Nikki on the soundtrack caused a diplomatic incident when Tipper Gore decided it was way too sexy for children's ears in reference to a phrase about self-stimulation with a magazine. Because of it, there are parental advisory stickers, which only helps to sell albums, in my opinion. And for years, fans have been trying to work out the meaning of Purple Rain. Some believe it's about the end of the world, a theme that interested Prince in the mid-80s, since he believed the apocalypse was near. A little like time traveling is the Purple Rain film experience. But it captures the essence of the musician Prince, who's gone away much too soon. And that wraps it up this week for Connie's Hot Flashes on the Movies.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to The Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Before we get into the program, let's have a little Tom Morello. Which side are you on?
How the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Side.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to The Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. And I welcome you back to another edition of this absolutely fantasticated program. Here on The Midwatch, I try to take some of the spin off the Dittohead media machine and correct the lies and misinformation of the RNC and the leadership of the Republican Party. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers, for the most part that's me, and do not necessarily reflect those of WFT, its board of directors, station manager, associates, or Prairie Air Inc. For the most part, my friends, it's me out here on this limb sawing as fast as I can, but you have an opportunity to help. It's a unscreened, open-line call-in program. If you would like to call in and talk about a topic, give it a call. Give it a try. Give it a whirl. Get your dialing finger out. Call 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. We can talk about just about anything your little heart desires. As long as we stay inside the guidelines of the Federal Communication Commission, we'll be just fine. This is a two-hour show. So around 8 o'clock, we will have Big Al's community chat. Tonight is a great program. I hope you'll stick around for that, too. He's going to have Dr. Robert Tropy on. I think that's his name. I can barely read Al's handwriting. But he is a professor of atmospheric sciences at the U of I. He's an expert on convective storms. And we just might have a storm tonight.
It's trap.
Trap. Just plain trap. Don't know why there looks like there's a Y there, but it's just Robert J. Trapp. I don't know the gentleman, but I'm sure he knows more about convective storms than I do. But I'm going to be sticking around for that, too, because I think Big Al's going to allow call-ins. He usually does. And I'll have a question or two for him, because I'm a curious kind of guy. It is 13 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. As far as the Midwatch program for tonight, we're going to be leaning heavily on Donald Trump-type topics. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's economic plan. We're going to talk about his support from William Johnson. We're going to talk about his support from Mark Cuban. We're going to come back and talk about a couple of more Trump-type topics. I have some comments on Hillary Clinton that I'm going to get to. And I'm going to talk about Germany. My talk about Germany may just dovetail with Big Al's guest for tonight. It may happen. We'll see. In any event, Donald Trump has exposed or started to put some meat behind his otherwise personal attacks against his opponents and Hillary and news anchors and people that he would rather you think about than him and his policies or thoughts. We have a call. Let's see what this is about. Good evening, you're on WFT. May I have your first name, please? Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Ah, there you are. I didn't have all of my
radio station.
This is WFT. You're live and on the air with Reasonable Man Stan. Can I have your first name, please?
I'm David.
David, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, my friend?
I was wondering about these ridiculous little spotlights below the headlights of trucks, cars, SUVs that are mispointed and way too bright. Who in the world started that?
Well, I don't...
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, when I had a... what was the car I had? It was a Chrysler, and it had driving lights that were down low that would allow me to see the road when there was fog. I don't
right.
know that these lights are the same, but I know
no.
what you're talking about.
Yes.
And they are annoying.
Yes. I mean, they're mispointed, they're too bright, and I flash guys that have them too bright all the time. What can we do to change that?
Well, I guess I'd call the Secretary of State and find out what they know about them.
Because okay. If anybody's listening, have them call.
Well, I'm not sure that that our Secretary of State listens to the program on a regular basis, but if he does, perhaps he'll give us a call and tell us what those lights are about too. I'm pretty sure they're not aliens from outer space, but they are bright,
right.
And
yes.
they are in the nighttime sky, sort of.
Yeah, and they're you know, they're just way too bright. They blind you when they come at you. I mean, makes you want to hit them with a ball peen hammer.
I don't recommend that.
Okay.
Although,
thanks you. Well, did the fine in Illinois for talking on the phone go up from $150 to $500? Somebody told me that.
Talking on the phone?
While you're driving.
If you're in a school zone, it has.
Aha. Uh-huh.
If you're talking on your phone in a school zone, I know that fine has gone up to $150. I think the fine for talking when you're just supposed to be hands-free outside a zone, I think that's 75 rather than 50. I'm not sure, but I think I'm right about that as well.
Okay.
How about this one?
Okay.
Recently, are you from Champaign, Urbana?
No.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna say where I'm from just because I'm on the phone here and talking about.
No. That's fine. I didn't ask you where you were from. I just asked you if you were from Champaign, Urbana.
No.
Recently, the wise folks in Urbana decided to lower the fine for possession of small amounts of marijuana from $300 to $50. Okay?
Well, it's okay.
In their very well thought out plan, they left the fine for smoking paraphernalia at $300.
Isn't that crazy?
So they lowered the fine for smoking pot to $50, but if you've got a pack of zigzags, you're going to get hit with a $300 fine for having paraphernalia.
And you can smoke pipe tobacco. I know a lot of people that do. They smoke pipe tobacco and cigarettes.
Well,
you know, tobacco.
You can do blunts. You can stick the marijuana in a cigar and smoke a blunt and get away with it and all sorts of stuff.
Did you hear, you know, Illinois just is going to be growing medical marijuana, and they're only allowing so many places to grow it, I think maybe 20 or 22. And did you hear what the application fee is, non-refundable dollars?
Oh, I thought it was $25,000.
You're right. Non-refundable.
Non-refundable. If you get accepted, that's good. If you don't, the state just made $25,000.
There you go. That's the Illinois politicians. They're not known for their brains.
And then there's a lot of things that most every other medical marijuana state has covered that Illinois is not going to cover. PTSD is one of those things. So far as I've heard, so far they've declined to include PTSD for our returning military people.
I went, another little known fact, I went with a girl just a couple weeks ago that she was a retired nurse, and her job was to drive the medical marijuana from the distributor to homebound people in wheelchairs or whatever. And do you know what the monthly allotment was per person?
No.
5 ounces. Kind of seems like a lot. Five ounces a month. Maybe it's not.
Well, I've heard of people that smoked more than 5 ounces a month. That's been a long time since I've heard about that person smoking more than 5 ounces a month. I'm not trying to tell you that person was me, but it, you know.
Well, that's back when the marijuana wasn't as good as what this medical that's coming out is now.
Well, that's true. There was a time when a girlfriend of mine. And she wasn't my girlfriend, but she was just a girlfriend of mine.
Yeah.
Who was a painter. She painted a picture, and she traded the picture for a garbage bag full of Illinois green.
Wow.
We were happy people for a long time.
It was more than just butter material, right?
That's right. That's good. Right. But back good. In those days, you could pick all the Illinois green you wanted to along Interstate 74 out here just north edge of town.
They grew it in WW2. They grew it for the hemp, you know.
That's true. They just didn't grow this in the median of the interstate on purpose. It just kind of was there naturally, though.
Sure. It spreads with the birds, you know. The birds drop it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So well, you got anything else? What else you want to talk about?
It's starting to rain down here. I'm down by Mattoon, or Mattoon, however you want to say it.
Okay.
And that's about all my gripes for now, I think, is those lights. They're way too bright, and somebody should do something about them.
I agree 100% with you, David. You be safe out there on the road, though.
Okay, thank you. Good talking to you. Take care.
Yep, bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, that was an interesting conversation with my new friend, David. He is, and like I said, and that just proved my point, we can talk about just about any topic you'd like to talk about when you give me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. I know we can figure stuff out because I got the smartest audience in Central Illinois, for sure. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump's economic plan for fixing, taking care of, if you will, the federal debt. Everybody says the federal debt's too high. We can't afford the federal debt. And the truth of the matter is, if we were to raise the interest rate to what many people refer to as a normalized interest rate, we would have a federal interest rate somewhere around 3 or 4%. Okay? Right now, the federal interest rate is 1.25%. Right now, we have about $19 trillion in total federal debt. At 1%, that's almost $2 billion. If we normalized interest rates to 4%, that would be $8 billion just in interest on our federal debt. And we're already having difficulty balancing the budget, since George W. Bush and the Republicans refused to follow the blueprint handed to them by Bill Clinton as to how to eliminate the federal debt. No, no, no. They couldn't eliminate the federal debt. They wanted to multiply the federal debt. And so they did. And they laid us in such a foul economic position that it has taken President Barack Obama 7 years to reduce our annual deficit from about $1.5 trillion a year to only $400 billion a year. He has knocked the deficit in the head. Even though the Republicans have been dragging and screaming and kicking and clawing to prevent our country from getting on track for real economic growth. They have done everything to obstruct President Obama's policies that they could, and that includes preventing a more robust recovery than what we've been able to have under the leadership of President Barack Obama. And so now we have a $19 trillion plus debt. And the Donald has a great idea as to how to solve our federal debt. And that debt, that solution is called bankruptcy. Donald Trump wants to make America great by bankrupting our country, by filing a national bankruptcy. Can you imagine how long it would take us to get back up to being the international currency standard after Donald Trump actually files a bankruptcy or refuses to pay 100 cents on the dollar of every dollar that's been loaned to the government of the United States of America? Can you imagine the destruction that would ensue from Donald Trump's economic policy of national bankruptcy? It's ridiculous. And Donald Trump has never been in public office. He doesn't understand public finances at all, as has been proven with his recent acceptance of the possibility of a bankruptcy. He doesn't understand anything about economics, apparently, other than he has taken advantage of the bankruptcy laws to make himself rich. Yes, he has stolen money from people that lent it to him by declaring bankruptcy on them and putting the money in his pocket. That's his plan. Put the money in the Donald's pocket and to hell with everybody else. What am I talking about? I've talked about this to you before, and I'll tell it again because it's important that you understand. Donald Trump has never had a personal bankruptcy. He has, on the other hand, had four corporate bankruptcies. You see, our laws have been made so that the one percenters can create a corporation, can load it up with debt, then declare bankruptcy on the corporation and be shielded from being involved in that bankruptcy personally in most cases. Basically, unless they volunteer to take a personal bankruptcy on top of the corporate bankruptcy. They are shielded from the corporate bankruptcy. And Donald Trump, as president of the United States of America, would still get his $400,000 presidential salary if we declared bankruptcy. And everybody that has loaned money to the United States of America would get squat. Nothing. Oh, maybe they'd be able to take over the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone or some of our national parks and monuments. Maybe they would be able to do that in the judicial bankruptcy that this lunatic wants to put on this country. Maybe that's what his goal is to get rid of all of our commons, all of our national parks. The Republicans have hated our national parks since they became lunatics in the 60s. It was Republicans that created our national parks, for God's sakes. Teddy Roosevelt. And now they've flipped to the insane side of the world. And now they want to get rid of our national treasures, our national parks. The only thing, though, I think that what would happen if Donald Trump were to win the presidency and start talking about bankruptcy, I think the Congress would stop him for the most part. If the Republicans maintained control of Congress, they would allow bankruptcy on about $4.5 trillion of our federal debt. They would allow that because they've wanted that to happen since 1936. 1936, the Republican candidate for president of the United States, whose name I don't know now, I didn't take the time to look it up because he was an idiot, more so than, well, he wasn't as much an idiot as Donald Trump is, but he was an idiot nonetheless. You see, the first Social Security checks started being issued in 1936. And yet the Republican nominee for president of the United States said he wanted to end Social Security. And what he ended was his ability to be believable. Because since 1936, Social Security has kept millions of senior citizens out of poverty. It has allowed them to live in their own homes and die in their own homes. It has allowed them to eat 2 or 3 meals a day. It has allowed them to have heat in their home in wintertime and cool in their home in summertime. That's what Social Security has done for right now about 25 million Americans. But that is the only program that Donald Trump, with his bankruptcy, could pull bankruptcy on if Congress were to allow him to do so without destroying the economy of the rest of the world and creating World War III. If the United States of America, the number one economy in the world, were suddenly to declare bankruptcy, and all the countries that we owe money to were to decide to come and take our assets at the point of a gun because we didn't decide to pay them, that, my friends, is World War III. And that is the plan for some of these lunatics on the right-hand side of the aisle, the Donald being chief amongst them. of wanting World War III. The Donald has already sworn allegiance to the military-industrial complex by saying he's going to rebuild it. We have the number one military in the world today. What is there to rebuild? We are already number one. We can't become number one A or one triple A. Once you're the best, you're the best. You don't get any better than the best. But the Donald wants you to think that we are no longer the best. But we are. And the companies, the corporations, the generals that make hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of dollars off of our tax dollars want to keep it that way by making you afraid that we are no longer the best. But we are. As a matter of fact, we are so far ahead of the rest of the world in military might that there's a good possibility that we would be able to take them all out if need be. What about that? But why? Why create such a fiasco? And the reason is simple. The guy has never been elected dog catcher. He knows nothing about public policy. He knows nothing other than what he's been whispered in the ear by the guys that gave us Reaganomics. Larry Kudlow, chief amongst them, as his financial advisor, is now trying to convince the Donald that all we have to do is to create a 28% flat tax in this country and everything will be peachy. The 1%ers get a 13% tax cut and the people receiving earned income tax credits get a 20% tax increase. Because we all know that Republican economics demand that everybody pay something for the country's well-being. Everybody should pay something for the operations of the federal government. Of course, these same hypocritical liars do not believe that everybody should pay something for health care. No! We don't need no health care where everybody pays a share of the cost. No, we don't need that. We need to let people die in the streets if they don't have the money for health care. But if it comes to funding a military-industrial complex, everybody's got a share in that cost. Because we know that that cost more directly aids the 1%ers than it does the bottom of the economic ladder. You see, the bottom of the economic ladder doesn't have anything to protect. They may live in a mobile home. Not that a mobile home is a bad thing to live in, but it certainly isn't the same thing as living in Trump Tower, in the penthouse suite, where Donald Trump lives. Not the same thing at all. But the Republicans would have you believe that you should pay the same percentage of your income, even though you have a hard time putting food on the table, as Donald Trump does, even though he can't buy enough yachts or rental property or whatever. He doesn't spend all of his money. He accumulates money. You spend every dime to survive. And the Republicans want you to think that you should pay the same flat tax as somebody who only spends about a third or 50% of their income. That same percentage should be the same for you as for them. And that's because they know that they can convince you that through some grace of God, you will suddenly become a billionaire too. Really? That's Trump's economics in a nutshell. Give Donald Trump a 14% tax cut and give you a 14% tax increase. That's the basis of his economic plan for taxes in this country. Not to mention the bankruptcy. And the people on Social Security that suddenly get their checks cut or eliminated entirely. Elimination entirely is what the Republicans really want, because the Republicans have hated Social Security since the first Social Security check was issued in January of 1936. 42 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. WFT is community radio for Central Illinois. As such, we do not do commercials. We do public service announcements. Here's one now.
Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Yes, be careful out there. And let's be careful texting and driving, too. The digital deadwalkers, there's a few thousand people in this country every year that get killed walking and texting, or walking and reading a message on their phone from CNBC or any of the other providers of news services. They step out into traffic. It's all over except the burial. All right. Not really trying to do Donald Trump all the time tonight, but Donald Trump is somebody that should never have gotten as far as he has gotten, but he has gotten there. But he has gotten there because, primarily because of a 2010 Supreme Court ruling called Citizens United. In 2010, the Supreme Court decided that money was speech. Money was the equivalent of free speech. And curiously enough, those five justices that made that decision, we're not smart enough to understand that $10 speaks louder than $1. Or maybe they did understand that, and they wanted to turn this country more into an oligarchy than a democracy. I believe they understood it every bit of the way, because we know that at least two of those justices were in the pockets of the Koch brothers, because they received money from the Koch brothers every year for making speeches at their conferences. So they owed the Koch brothers something for the luxurious accommodations and the actual dollars that they received for speaking at the Koch brothers' events. That would be Clarence Thomas and Justice Scalia. They would go to the Koch brothers' conventions every year and have speaking fees paid to them, room and board provided, bought and paid for. Citizens United rolls in. It gives the Supreme Court an opportunity to overturn 10 years of precedent, which prevented corporations from being able to buy politicians willy-nilly, and they did. And Citizens United basically allows corporations to anonymously buy politicians by creating and or contributing to political action committees. The Supreme Court made sure that the contributors to political action committees could remain anonymous, so they could pay to have any Hitlerite elected that would turn this country into an oligarchy rather than a democracy, because that's what modern-day Republicans want, is the corporations to run everything. I've slipped the rails just a little bit in my memory of William Johnson. I said I was going to talk about William Johnson. You can tell I'm passionate about the way the Republicans have destroyed our country so far, and I am. Donald Trump has a number of supporters out there, and one of those is a gentleman by the name of William Johnson. William Johnson has contacted the Trump Organization to find out how to become a delegate from California for Donald Trump. And William Johnson has been led through the process by the Trump people. And William Johnson is allegedly one of the biggest, runs one of the largest white supremacist organizations in California. He is going to be on the California ballot on June 6th as a delegate for Donald Trump. You know how the primaries work. You get to choose whether you want Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich. It's probably too late for any of those three people to get off the ballot. It may not be, but let's assume that it is. But when you vote for one of those three people, that's all well and good, and that's an interesting number. When you vote for a delegate, though, those are the people that actually go to the convention. When we voted here in Illinois, there was an opportunity to send three convention delegates. The problem is, when I tried to vote for three convention delegates for Bernie Sanders, I only had two choices. There were only two people on there that were willing to be convention delegates for him. That's why Hillary Clinton has been able to have more delegates than Bernie Sanders. It's called I forget what it's called. She was more organized than the Sanders people were. And right now, Donald Trump is trying to get as many delegates as he can so that he can win it on the first ballot, because he fears that the convention, that the Republican hierarchy will prevent him from becoming the nominee if it goes to a second ballot. So, William Johnson puts his name up to support Donald Trump as a delegate. And Donald Trump says, yeah, I'm good. You need to be on my team. White supremacist William Johnson will now be on the ballot in California as a delegate, possible delegate for Donald Trump. Really? The white supremacists, the racists, the bigots, the xenophobes throughout this country support Donald Trump 10-1. That's a guess on my part. I believe it's at least 10-1. And what bothers me is when I hear some person of color say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm going to vote for a white supremacist. Oh, I'm not saying Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying he is liked by white supremacists. He is followed by white supremacists. His policies are appreciated by white supremacists. I'm not saying Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Don't get me wrong there. I would not say that about the Donald. Birds of a feather, my friends. Birds of a feather. So that's William Johnson, another white supremacist convention delegate for Donald Trump. Another topic, sort of. I don't watch a lot of commercial TV. When I watch TV, it is, I like an Investigation Discovery Channel, because it at least tells the story of people that actually committed crimes and got caught. I don't know I've seen a story yet where the guy didn't get caught or the gal didn't get caught, even though we know statistically that only about 40% of all people that commit murder get caught. It's less than half. A lot of murders in this country go unsolved. Just in case you're thinking about rolling the dice and killing somebody, you got about a 50-50 chance of getting caught. Usually the people that don't get caught are the stranger murders. So, you know, don't kill your wife because you're going to be the first one they look at. And they're probably going to get you. Anyway, I'll quit. I don't watch a lot of commercial TV, but one of the shows I really do like to watch is Shark Tank, because that's kind of a reality show anyway. People go in there with their idea for a business, or maybe their business is already up and running. Hopefully it's already up and running and they've got some sales and they need money to buy more inventory because they're selling out so fast that they can't stand it, and they need some help with guidance on where they should go next and what they should do next, and et cetera, et cetera. And so they go on Shark Tank, and the sharks, which are very wealthy people, have an opportunity to invest in their companies. And Mark Cuban is one of those. Of course, you know that Mark Cuban is a owner of, I think it's the Dallas Mavericks. He owns that basketball team. And he's kind of an outspoken guy. People either like Mark Cuban or they hate him. And shortly after Donald Trump announced his aspirations to be president, Mark Cuban said, yeah, I think that's a good guy for president of the United States. Well, yesterday or the day before, Mark Cuban was on CNBC, and they were talking about business in this country in general, and as it is, the topic turned around to Donald Trump and whether or not Mark Cuban was still a supporter of the Donald. And Mark said, well, yeah, I'm still a supporter of him. And the question came up as to what policies or how he thought that he had gotten this far in the contest, since he had never been elected to anything or not. And Cuban says, well, it's because he's ran a Seinfeld campaign. And the host of CNBC kind of looked at Mark Cuban twice, and then he says to him, what do you mean by a Seinfeld campaign? And Cuban says, well, it's a campaign about nothing. It's a campaign about nothing. He doesn't talk about issues. He doesn't talk about policies. He talks about other candidates' wives. He talks about other candidates' looks. He talks about other candidates' body parts. He talks about other candidates' this and other candidates' that. He does ad hominem attacks against other people, and the people are just eating it up. It's a Seinfeld campaign. It's a campaign about nothing. Oh, he says he's going to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it. He can't do that. There's no way in hell he can do that. And there's no way in hell that's going to happen. And then, well, let's suppose that the Donald decides to build the $10 billion wall with our tax dollars, which he will, because those tax dollars will go to construction companies. And of course, the Donald has a couple of construction companies, and if he doesn't have a couple of construction companies, he's got a couple of construction company owner buddies that would be happy to give him money to get contracts for the United States government. But that's another topic, sort of. A Seinfeld campaign. A campaign about nothing. His wall fantasy can't happen. His economic plan was, his tax plan rather, was originally a 25% flat tax. And his buddy Larry Kudlow has convinced him to raise it to 28% flat tax. I mean, we got to tax these poor people more. We can take less of a tax cut, but we got to tax these low people more. That's the Mark Kudlow plan. Yeah, he worked for Ronald Reagan and his voodoo economics, and this is voodoo economics too, but that's another story, I guess. And to say Cuban still supports Donald Trump, even though his presidency is about nothing, really says a lot to me. You see, we've had 7+ years now of Republican obstructionism. We've got a Republican Senate now that has refused to follow the Constitution they swore to uphold with regard to holding a hearing for a Supreme Court nominee. The Republicans have refused to hold those hearings because they really don't want the government to do anything. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. Except pay for the military-industrial complex. A do-nothing Congress made up of Republicans tack on a do-nothing Seinfeld-esque presidency with a Republican president. And what does that give us? What does that really give us? It gives us another 8 years or 4 years of George W. Bush. The only thing that George W. Bush did in his 8 years was to trash the U.S. economy economically by allowing the bank collapse to occur. He allowed that. And the other thing he allowed was 2 unfunded wars in the Middle East. That was the totality. Well, it wasn't the totality. He had some tax cuts thrown in there, too, so that the deficits would be higher. The Republicans have been trying everything they can for the past 35 years to destroy the economy of the United States of America. They've had help from Democrats, don't get me wrong. But their goal has been to destroy the economy of the United States of America, and it's only been through the grace of God and the willingness of the American people to adjust their lifestyle to a lesser level than it was prior to Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan took the office, it was relatively common to have single earner households. Single earner households where the breadwinner only had one job. Relatively common. Now, we have had almost no increase in income for middle-class Americans, and the majority of middle-class type Americans are now at least two-earner families, and many of them are three-earner families, because one of the people has to have two jobs to maintain the standard of living that that single job had for the family in 1980, and that's because the Republicans have been hell-bent for leather to destroy middle-class America and the economy of this country included. And they're doing it day by day, by obstruction, and people are letting it happen. Bill Clinton let it happen. Barack Obama let it happen. We need somebody that will turn this country around for the better, not the worse. Two people in this election cycle were running to turn this country around. One of them said he wanted to turn this country around and make it great again. The Republican, Donald Trump. His economic policies will destroy our country, if not create World War III. The other one, Bernie Sanders. Turn this country around. Turn it away from the destructive policies of Reaganomics, tax cuts for the wealthy, and pay cuts for the middle class, because that's what it's been. He wanted to turn this country around from the policies of Republican economics. Donald Trump wants to turn this country around from any possibility of being number one with his bankruptcy crap, his wars, because he's going to build up the military-industrial complex. And really, there's only one reason to build up a military-industrial complex now, isn't there? And that reason is to use it. That's what Republicans in modern day do. It's 9 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. The BFT is community radio. We do public service announcements. Here you go.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Don't let me scare you off, my friends. we really can have a calm, cool, and collected conversation. David and I had a good conversation at the beginning of the show. And I invite you to call and add your voice to the program as well. Let's see. Let's drop back a little bit. Go back in time to talking about Trump's plan for bankruptcy for this country. There are don't know why that did that. When the Donald came out with his plan for bankruptcy, pretty much every economist and business media outlet said, "You're crazy as a loon." And then the topic was dropped. But Donald has another plan. And that other plan for taking care of our debt, if he can't do his bankruptcy thing, he thinks what we ought to do is print money. Print money to pay off the debt. We don't have to issue additional debt instruments. No! We want to buy another billion-dollar aircraft carrier? Just print the money. We don't need to borrow money to do that sort of stuff. We don't need to do that. We have the printing machine. We can print the money. The Donald says he understands debt better than anybody. I understand debt better than anybody. I am the king of debt. So we'll just print money. Well, it's been said time and time again that if you know nothing about history, you're doomed to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Back in the 1930s, there was a country in Central Europe heavily in debt because in the teens, that country had decided to invade another country. And that country started what became known as World War I. And part of the World War I armistice was a tremendous amount of debt to the Allies that had to come in and kick their ass. Tremendous amount of debt. So, the Germans tried to pay the debt down through taxation and not spending very much of their own money, but using it to pay down the debt. They did that for about 10 years, maybe 12. And then a new guy came into power in Germany, and he had a good idea. He says to the German people, "I run the printing press. You don't have to worry about this debt. I will just crank that old printing press up and print the money and pay the debt off. And he got his arm of gold on that printing lever and moving that money out, paying that debt off. The trouble is, since there was an unlimited amount of money being printed to pay off a large debt, the world lost faith in that currency. And that currency became nearly worthless. You know the country I'm talking about, don't you, by now? Country was Germany. Germany decided to buy their way out of debt by printing the money, as Donald now wants to do for the United States. Print the money and pay off the debt. There's a famous cartoon of a guy with a wheelbarrow full of German marks going to the grocery store and coming home with a single loaf of bread from that wheelbarrow full of German marks because the money was worthless. That is the picture that will stand for the United States of America if Donald gets his way and prints our way out of debt. The way to get out of debt is to pay it off, as we were doing under the Clinton administration. The economy was booming. Taxes were relatively low, really. And we were running a surplus large enough that our entire national debt would have been fully eradicated in 15 years. We had stopped printing new $30 treasury bonds. Just stopped doing them because we didn't need them anymore. We didn't need to push debt off 30 years because we were going to have zero debt in 15 years. And then a Republican was appointed president of the United States by a Republican Supreme Court. And the first thing we do is we start the stupid tax cuts. Donald Trump wants a stupid tax cut from 39.6% to 25 or 28%. A tax cut for the wealthy. At least Donald is trying to offset that by having a huge tax increase for you and me from 10 or 15%. To 25 or 28% because it's going to be a flat tax. You know how well a flat tax has worked for the state of Illinois. Surely it'll work at least that well for the whole federal government. And yet the Republicans want to keep a flat tax in Illinois, and now they want to start a flat tax for the entire country. How stupid can they be? Can they not learn from history? Are they that dense? Flat taxes do not work. Flat taxes are regressive. They hurt poor people. And yet that's what we have in the state of Illinois, and that's what the Republicans want for the entire federal government. A flat tax. Something that will hurt poor people. And that, my friends, is you and me. We are poor because we don't have a bunch of money to use to buy investments like the wealthy do. Of course, Donald is saying he was misunderstood in his tax plan. But let's take a look at the number of organizations, economic type people, that say this won't work. Call it an economic disaster. There's CNN. CNN's experts say printing money to buy back debt would be disastrous for the economy. It was for Germany. It would be for us. MSNBC says Trumponomics is playing with fire. Yeah, that's putting it very mildly. But then MSNBC has been the Trump network in this campaign. CNN also said that Trump's money printing solution would end independence of the Federal Reserve, removing the foundation of our very economic success. The independence of the Federal Reserve from the federal government has given the world the confidence that the U.S. dollar will always be managed reasonably. It is the Federal Reserve that has been the bulwark of maintaining our economic superiority worldwide, and the Republicans, to a man, want to end the Federal Reserve. Business Insider says another potentially alarming option for debt management. Donald Trump told Business Insider, and I quote, "First of all, you never have to default because you print the money." Excuse me, he told that to CNN. You just print the money. Keep on buying stuff. However many dollars they want, we'll just print it. Stupid. Dumb as a rock. Slate, the online magazine. Donald Trump is lost in a forest of nonsense on debt policies. That's just some of them. Slate magazine, online magazine. I don't think you can call that liberal. MSNBC, you really can't call that liberal either. Even though it's MSNBC, with all of the Trump time, all the time they've been doing this year. Trump has not, there has been very few days where Trump has not been on Morning Joe show. At least it seems that way to me. So that's another example, if you will, of Trump's insanity. I got one more Trumpy story. You can give me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE, though. Or you can listen to this public service announcement.
The following message is brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The inherent right to work is one of the elemental privileges of a free people. Endowed, as our nation is, with abundant physical resources, and inspired as it should be with the high purpose to make those resources and opportunities available for the enjoyment of all, we approach this problem of re-employment with the real hope of finding a better answer than we have now.
Your stuff can be more powerful than you think. Your stuff can be a resource for change. Donate to Goodwill, where your donations help fund job placement and training for people in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. And if you would like to add your voice to the program, I suggest that you give me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call, add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. We can indeed figure stuff out. I see Big Al is in the house. And I want to remind you that he's going to have Dr. Robert Trapp on his program this evening. He is professor of atmospheric sciences, an expert in convective storms. He's going to be here for the hour, I believe, and you can learn a lot of stuff. It's going to be a call-in if you want to give a chance to give him a call. Al will take calls. So he'll take a call from me. I always have questions. I'm a curious kind of guy. I actually think all programs, all talk programs on the station should be call-in programs, but we have a lot of hosts that don't want to deal with people calling in. And the truth of the matter is, if you've got an hour show or a two-hour show and you only get to be here once a week, that's not a lot of time for the issues that motivate us. Just believe me, it's true. One more Donald Trump story. Everything I tell you about Donald Trump, I just scratch my head that he is going to be the Republican nominee because it's so ridiculous. That's why there are so many Republicans out there that are refusing to endorse him this late in the game, that are refusing to go to the convention because they know that his run for president of the United States will be either a disaster for the party or it will be destructive to the country. They know this. And as much as the Republican Party and its leadership think parts of the country should be destroyed, they don't think it all should be. But Trump's policies leaves no man standing. None. Zero. Zip. Here's one that you're going to like. Now that he doesn't have to worry about winning the delegate count much, now that he's the presumptive nominee, he's starting to expose some of his other harebrained ideas. One of those harebrained ideas is the same idea that our good governor, Bruce Rauner, has. And what would that be? Bruce Rauner has said that the minimum wage in the state of Illinois should be reduced from $8.25 an hour to the federal minimum wage of $7.25. Okay? The Donald says that the federal minimum wage should be reduced to zero. No minimum wage. The federal minimum wage should be eliminated. Do you have any idea how many people that puts in poverty? How does that make America great again? It doesn't. It just helps consolidate wealth in the hands of the one percenters. It makes every man, woman, and oh yes, they will want child labor back too. They just haven't gotten around to telling you about it yet. Zero federal minimum wage. Bruce Rauner gets his way. The minimum wage in the state of Illinois then goes to zero as well. Because if Bruce Rauner gets his turnaround agenda passed, our minimum wage matches the federal minimum wage. That'll turn Illinois around. One percenters. Bruce Rauner's a billionaire. Donald Trump's a billionaire. They would like to have the minimum wage be zero. Because they don't have to worry about putting bread on the table. Because they're billionaires. They already have their money. And now they want to take more of yours by paying you less. Of course, he insists that states could set their own minimum wages at whatever they wanted to. But we already have a preview of what Bruce Rauner wants, because he's told us. He wants the state minimum wage to match the federal minimum wage. Donald Trump wants the federal minimum wage to be zero. If you don't believe that there would be a rush to turn back our minimum wage to zero again, like it was in the 1870s, 1850s, you are just not paying attention. And yet still many of you support Donald Trump and his economic ideas. Really? There are much quicker ways to commit suicide, my friends. Much quicker. I really believe that supporting Donald Trump is such a self-destructive thing to do that you might as well be doing it quicker. Am I calm enough yet? Somebody give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. As I've told you many times, as much as I love doing this show, the real reason I do this show is for you. Keith Urban, for you.
Fire, I didn't feel a thing, but suddenly I was rising higher, and I felt like I just made the biggest mistake when when I thought about my unborn child, when I thought about my wife, and the answer rang out clear from somewhere up above. No greater gift has man than to lay down his life for love. And what good would I give my life? Or could I make that sacrifice? If it came down to it, could I take the blood? Yes, I would. Understand it all myself, but there's a brother on my left and another on my right, and in his pocket just like mine, he's got a photograph, and they're waiting for him back home, and it's weighing on my mind. I'm not trying to be a hero, I don't want to die, but right now in this moment, you don't think twice. I wonder, would I give my life? Could I make that sacrifice? If it came down to it, could I take the blue? Yes, I would. You don't think about it right. You don't think about it wrong. You just do.
Yes, 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 I would make that sacrifice. I was in that position at one point in time when I was in the Navy, I suppose. But anyway, we're back on the air here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I have a caller on the line. Let's go to my caller right now. Good evening, you're on. You're on the line. May I have your first name, please?
It's Warren.
Warren, welcome to the air. You're on the air here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. What have you got for me?
Well, I'd just like to give you a little history background on who I am. I'm from North Dakota, and I'm listening to your program talking about Trump. And I wouldn't say that I'm a Trump supporter. I believe there's a better candidate that should have risen to the top. But to talk about just some taxes and some of the things that I see as not very balanced, I left high school with $160 in my pocket, went to work in the transportation industry, and I've been in it all my life. And at this point in my life, I'm taxed in the 39% bracket because I've worked hard and I've saved money and I've reinvested in the communities that I work in. And it's very hard for me to create jobs in small communities like Eden Valley, Minnesota. That's where we have one of our businesses. When 39% of my income goes to federal tax. It's a small community, only has 1,000 people in it, but we employ 22 people in that small town. There's an industrial park there. that actually brings in about 500 jobs into that small community, and we all struggle with the amount of tax. Most of us are local people that have built up a business through our hard work and dedication to communities, and I agree with a flat tax. I would reinvest more into small communities and small businesses and expand my businesses and create jobs if I could get a little bit more of my income back into these communities. If you look at what happens in the transportation industry, we are taxed. Our fuel is taxed. We have federal excise tax on all of our equipment. We have all the different varieties of tax that comes onto the transportation industry that really is very hard on our businesses to create more jobs, and it's hard to expand with that kind of, it's like oppression, because I came from an alcoholic background. My dad was an alcoholic. I'm uneducated, and I've just worked hard all my life to work in small communities and develop small businesses for local people so they don't have to travel on the road like I had to make a living. And it's very detrimental for the small communities and this small business to create jobs when we're at 39% of our income that we make goes back to the federal government. And I don't have a problem with government. What I have a problem with is the waste in government. We definitely need regulation, but we have such a waste factor. The amount of money that goes into Social Security that actually gets back to my mother, which is 78 years old, for every dollar that goes in, only about 25 cents ever gets back to her. That's the waste that I have a problem with. And we have a great country. We have a great nation. This is a great state that I'm driving through. I see wealth everywhere. There is more wealth in this country than probably the entire world owns, all in this country. And I don't see poverty here. There's opportunity for everybody to work hard and move forward. And when we choose to say there's billionaires that need to be taxed more for working hard, that seems very unfair. Our country has always been to help the underdog. That's part of our makeup. We're a country of immigrants, and we have always moved forward with that, to help the underdog, the people that are oppressed around the world. All the people that have came here have had great opportunities, and to pass that on to the next generation, for some of the business people that are being taxed to a point where we're almost stifled. We're just about to the point where we cannot create any more jobs, because it just, if it's not federal tax, it's excise tax. If it's not excise tax, it's fuel tax. And I'm driving on the roads in Illinois, and they're none too great, and yet I see commercial trucks running down the road, 34%, 34 cents on every gallon gets put back into this road. And it looks like somebody's wasting a lot of money out here, because these roads are not in that great a shape. And so there's nothing wrong with this country. We need to manage our government a little bit better. We have such a waste factor there. It's just catastrophic to small business. It's catastrophic to big business. It's catastrophic for the husband and wife that are trying to raise a family, because that's all part of the cost, what it takes for them to operate to raise their family. All of this waste in government is what it's going to cost them to raise their family. They need more generated revenue because we have such a waste factor in the government. And I guess that's all I have to say. People that work hard, there's opportunity everywhere in the United States. It doesn't matter if you're in a metropolitan area or in a rural setting like Eden Valley, Minnesota. There's opportunity everywhere. And that's one of the things I'd like to say. I'm not a supporter. I'm not a Clinton or a Sanders supporter. We have some definite problems in our country, but the majority of it is waste. It's just massive waste. And to prove that, just go to any one of your local landfills and just see the garbage that gets dumped out there every day. And you'll be appalled at what the citizens of this United States throw away, as see as trash. Another country would see as a huge treasure.
You know, Warren,
I guess. Go ahead.
You know, Warren, I think that I know I like you. I think we get along well, and I wish that we could arrange to have dinner sometime. I'd be happy to buy you dinner next time you're driving through if we can get it organized properly, because I think you've got a lot of important things to say. And you said several things on the air in the past couple minutes that you've been on the air, and I agree with you on many of them. But let's see if I can talk to you about one thing, okay? And you say that you're taxed at the 39% rate.
That's correct.
Are you incorporated?
Yes, we are.
You are a C corporation?
S corp.
You're an S corp. Okay. So, if you were to hire somebody else, you would hire somebody else only because they made you more money. Isn't that true?
It's to create jobs that benefit, because in a small community, okay, we're going to lose our grocery store in Eden Valley, Minnesota. And the reason we're going to lose that grocery store is because as leaders of the community, we did not look forward to what was happening in downtown. The business owners didn't come together and say, listen, we've just had the highway paved through town. We've just got new curb and gutter. We have new sidewalks all the way. Highway 22 runs right through going north and south through Eden Valley, Minnesota. We did all of that. But we didn't give. We've got buildings that were built there in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think forward to the next generation and say, wait, you know, how are we gonna get these businesses to operate in an efficient manner if we don't? One, let's take the buildings down, but we got to recycle what we tear down. We cannot take this asbestos. So a lot of these buildings have asbestos in them. We have real issues here, but we as a community have to work together to take these buildings down. And we talked to the city.
Well, had
a meeting the other day. Yes.
Let's try to stick to just your situation for a minute, okay? Because we don't have very much time. I've got to be off the air in another 10 minutes. But let's just kind of stick with your situation. Your situation is you've got 22 employees, you're a subchapter S corporation, and you are in the 39% tax bracket, okay?
Yep.
If you hired one more person, you would not hire that one more person until you could turn a profit on that person's working for you. Isn't that true?
We're not making a profit. We're developing. Listen, you can take a look at my books. We're losing money at that business, but we are going to press on to develop that business into a profitable business. And we use people. We give them, they take margin off the wages that we get to raise their family. Every one of them has the same columns as I do. The amount you put into it and what you get as a return at the end of the day.
So what you're saying
isn't so what I'm doing for them right now is I'm at a loss to create this economy in this small town. I need those men and I need those women to create this economy, to support one another. I'm not here to take advantage of them.
No, I'm not saying you are. Let me ask you this question. The 39% tax rate that you're paying is not a federal income tax rate. It's the tax rate on running your business, buying the fuel for your trucks and this, that, and the other. Is that what you're saying? So that
no, the 39 is my gross, what my gross income on this company, what we pay.
So you pay a 39% federal income tax rate.
That's right.
Okay. Let me try.
And I've used another business's income to create this. This is something that I see as a.
Let me make a point. Let me try to make a point here for you, real quick, though. Right now, you're paying a 39% federal income tax rate. You're at the maximum tax rate you can be at, basically. And what would happen if you could hire one more person and have that add to your personal bottom line, you would pay a 39% tax rate on that money as well. So you would have 51% left over for yourself.
No, I don't have 51% left over for myself because I've got... On this business, we have a federal excise tax that we pay on the products. We have
that's
fuel tax that it takes to operate that. We don't have, if that was just the case, I would be fairly satisfied with 39% because I live in a free country.
You're incorporated. So all of those expenses come off before the net money from the corporation goes to your personal tax form.
Yep.
So you are receiving 51% to spend however you want after you pay that 39% tax rate.
But I don't spend it. My income is less than every one of my employees. Not one employee makes less than I do, not one. All of the generated revenue goes back in to building the community. We cannot progress in this country by taking all of this business out of small town USA. We cannot run it through a metropolitan area. It doesn't work that way. Eisenhower
transportation
system in our country to get these products to market on an efficient manner. It's all about the transportation industry, and in this industry that I've been in since a real, real young in my life. I was put in the first truck at 9 years old, and from that point on, I knew trucks and transportation was going to be something that I was going to be involved in, and just the transportation industry in this country is so overtaxed. I mean, they tax the equipment. They tax, there's a FET tax on the tires. Nobody even knows where that money goes. There's a federal excise tax on the equipment that we build. There's the fuel tax. None of that stuff is being accounted for. This massive waste is my problem. I know my taxes would go down if I could get the government to operate in an efficient manner. Go look at the landfill. Proof is in the pudding. There's government waste that goes hauls to the landfill every day.
Let me tell you.
Every day the government takes some of their waste material and dumps it in that landfill.
Right.
I watch perfectly the U.S. Department of Agriculture in North Dakota take brand new three-wheelers back in 1989 or 1990 and destroy them.
Okay.
I'm telling you,
Warren.
That's the 39%.
I'm really up against the.
I'm just an individual. That's
I know.
Why the
I know.
39.
Warren, let me have just a minute of time here because I'm really out of time. The other day, and I'm not saying this is you, there was a guy on being interviewed on MSNBC that said he was a supporter of Donald Trump. He said he was he worked for $10 an hour and had a wife and a child. And he said he would get a tax cut if Donald Trump were president of the United States because of the flat tax. And the fact of the matter is that young man making $10 an hour would have a tax increase with a flat tax because at $10 an hour with a wife that doesn't work and a child, he gets what's referred to as the earned income tax credit, and he actually gets more money back in tax return than he actually pays in taxes. I'm not saying this is you.
That's right.
I'm not saying this is your situation, but there's a lot of people that are tricked into believing that they would be better off with a flat tax than with any other kind of tax. And that's generally not correct. And I apologize for not giving you the last word, but I'm going to have to get off the air. I hope the next time you're around the area, you and I can have coffee together or something and sit down and talk for a lot longer than the few minutes we've had here, Warren. I really appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you. We'll be back through first part of next week, so I will give you a call at this number, see if I can track you down.
Okay, Warren. You be safe out on the roads. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. I got to get out of here. Big Al's chomping at the bit to get in here. I'm going to get out of here with a little David Rovick's Resistance. You be safe till next Wednesday. Bye for now.
You can say that it's about the savages. You can say you have a better way to live. You can call it manifest destiny. You can talk of all your civilization will give. You can say that we're a thing of history, and progress is the future you will bring. You can send your armies to these mountains. You can say we'll prosper beneath your king. But there will always be resistance.